As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Well, unlike a lot of other nights where we've had to come on after a Toronto Raptor victory and then get into Leafs Nation postgame to talk about a Maple Leaf loss, it's the opposite tonight. Raptors not so fortunate. The Toronto Maple Leafs, a rather inspiring and very welcome 4-3 overtime win over the Winnipeg Jets tonight at Air Canada Center. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, as we talk about the game and the Toronto Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League at large. We also welcome your phone calls at 870-590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And Ozzy, from the get-go, it's a physical team, the Winnipeg Jets, and it seemed like the Toronto Maple Leafs showed a little bit that they had some of that compete factor.
No, they really did, Gord. And I don't know if you were as surprised as I was, because I hadn't seen this out of the Toronto Maple Leafs for a very long time, and I wondered if they even had it in them to have a little bit of pushback, play with some jam, some emotion. And in fact, on a Saturday night, on hockey night in Canada, on a snowy night here in Toronto, finally we were able to see that on display. And, you know, while we weren't able to at least pick up any of the emotion of the arena, what the crowd was like, at least we were able and we were entertained to a very good hockey game. And at the end, finally, the Maple Leafs found a way to win on a nice overtime goal by James Van Riemsdyk.
Because you go back in the first period and Leafs get the shorthanded goal by Leo Komarov. And shorthanded goals to me are always such momentum changers. And then, as we've said so often, they can't hold a lead. They give it back 34 seconds later. And then you try not to give up goals in the last minute of a period. And lo and behold, Jake Gardner messes up trying to get out of their zone, and with 50 seconds left, the Jets have the 2-1 lead after the first period, and you're kind of rolling your eyes and go, here we go again. And again, to the Toronto Maple Leafs' credit, that wasn't the case.
Well, absolutely, and if you think this is the 30th game, that the Maple Leafs headed into the third period down. So they won they're 2-27 entering the third period with a deficit, and lo and behold, I don't know if you call it a lucky goal by Nazem Kadri, but, persistence, I guess. And if you look at the way that Kadri played for the better part of the game, there's a lot going on between him and who was it that he was getting entertained with, Blake Wheeler, for the majority part of the night. Some nice hits there. But when Nazem Kadri plays with that bit of jam and emotion, he can be a very effective player. And on the wraparound goal, which tied the hockey game, good job by Morgan Riley again, keeping the puck in. He pitched in with a couple of assists and pretty good on, and I would say this for Peter Horachuk as well. If you go back to the first period, and the first goal goes off of Morgan Riley, Granberg then on the second Winnipeg goal handcuffs Morgan Riley. So it's not a very good start for Morgan Riley on the night. And yet he pitched in with a couple of assists, had the most ice time of any Toronto Maple Leaf, over 25 minutes. So all in all, a spirited affair and a lot of good things to reflect back on this evening.
And again, welcome your phone calls, 870-590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. 4-3 overtime win tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, if you're Brendan Shanahan, Dave Nonis, and you're thinking about the future, you mentioned it, Morgan Riley, despite what you're talking about, being victimized by some of his teammates' gaffes, 25 minutes, 29 seconds, as you mentioned, the most ice time of anybody except Tyler Myers in the game.
Tobias Enstrom had 27-28, Myers was next.
So the most of any Toronto Maple Leaf player, and was plus three as well, and picked up two assists. And then in Nazem Kadri's case, a goal, an assist, 2 points. He was plus one, played 17 minutes, 45 seconds. So, you know, you're hoping that some of the younger guys get a chance to thrive and develop and get to that next level. In Kadri and Riley's case, a little bit different as far as where they are and expectations, but nice to see that.
But you know what? The thing that jumps out at me, Gord, and, you know, I don't know what it's like for you, but every time that you watch now Morgan Riley engaged in a game, I mean, There's effort. I mean, he's jumping into the rush. It looks like he's engaged all the time now, which is a wonderful sign. And obviously he's getting rewarded, but you know, some leadership, he's being thrust into that. I know the unfortunate comments that were made. I don't really care so much. It really didn't bother me what he had said. The fact is that, you know, he's starting to show, you know, a bit of leadership, even verbally, and some of the emotions that he's been displaying on the ice and the play, I think really does speak for himself very, very well.
You know, David Clarkson, again, trying to get something going, but he gets a roughing penalty himself early, you know, 1:58 mark. So puts him in a hole that way. It's kind of indicative about, you know, trying to make something happen and not being able to. 12 minutes, 14 seconds, had one shot on goal. But after that, it did seem like a very physical Winnipeg Jet team, the most penalized NHL team in the National Hockey League. And the Leafs, like they should have against Carolina when Eric Staal wired one at Dion Phaneuf, or just in general, showed a little bit more of an appetite for being, you don't have to get in heavyweight brawls, but just be competitive and be unafraid to be a little more physical.
Well, you know what? They absolutely were. And that's exactly the kind of game that the Leafs had to engage with, at least push back and become physical in some respects. And then, you know what, when that occurs, I got to tell you that you just can't help but get involved in the game because you're forced to play with the big boys. And again, with the Maple Leafs playing last night, I think the Winnipeg Jets, for the most part, and you know, we heard Paul Maurice's comments, but I think they were expecting not so much of an engaged game by the opposition. I think perhaps they took the Maple Leafs a little bit for granted. Again, this was a big game for the Winnipeg Jets that, in fact, they did not play their best hockey. Give the Maple Leafs a lot of credit, but they're going to go out of the Air Canada Centre. The Jets are with their tails between their legs.
Joffrey Lupo back in the lineup tonight, and he was a guy that got injured in that last, the glory days, the New Year's Eve win against the Boston Bruins, and things have got off the rails since then. Lupo back in the lineup. He was plus two, played 17 minutes, 16 seconds. You can obviously see that he can add something with the speed and everything else. We thought he got that one goal, but
yeah, you know what? It was tipped by Daniel Winnick, but again, you and I looked at each other while watching this game and say, finally, this is the Joffrey Lupo that was engaged with, that you, I think, fell in love with in the early part of his career with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that showing some emotion. And I know I really didn't necessarily like some of the comments that he made, you know, just about that you still have to play to try to win. It's like our season has basically disappeared, but you know what I'm saying? I think there's a little bit of onus and responsibility on Joffrey Lupo that's been a little bit lacking, you know, certainly over the course. And you can blame the injury, and he's not been there very much. But, you know, nonetheless, it was a spirited affair, and I like the way Joffrey Lupo approached this game.
Shots on goal, 34-33 for Winnipeg. So unlike last night where they kept the shots to the amount they talked about keeping it in the defensive system. It wasn't fire wagon hockey. It was pretty open hockey. It was pretty entertaining. Goaltenders, I don't think, were a factor negatively, nor did either, Winnipeg couldn't steal a game, but, you know, neither did either steal the game.
Yeah, you know what, let's go back to the first period where, in fact, the Winnipeg Jets scored twice on the power play. Give Komarov credit, his goal was shorthanded, but there was a period in that first period where the Leafs were on the power play, and this was JVR, Bozak, and Kessel. And the Winnipeg Jets had a couple of real good chances, but that line, and Bolzac in particular, well over 2 minutes on the ice, and I was actually getting really agitated, is that if you're making an effort in the offensive zone, but if now you're going back the other way and you're getting a scoring chance against, you better be busting your butt back in your own end. So I don't understand how a guy like Tyler Bolzac can play over 2 minutes on a power play if you're not engaged physically. And I was, you know, certainly frustrated. Thankfully, the result ended up speaking for itself. But again, I'm suggesting, Tyler Bozak, I haven't been impressed with his game for a very long time. And in fact, you want to challenge your top-end players. Jokinen with James Van Riemsdyk on the 4-on-4. I'm suggesting to Peter Hawerchuk, give Ole Jokinen an opportunity maybe and send a message to a guy like Tyler Bozak.
Well, tonight it worked in the overtime. Ole Jokinen and JVR were the upfront guys, as you mentioned, on the 4-on-4. And the other one is, not that Ole Jokinen has anything to prove to anybody. No. His one disappointment in Nashville is playing the wing. And he's a centerman. And this gives him a chance to, whether it's resurrect his career, salvage his career, showcase that he's got some more value in use. He's very motivated to play center.
Well, you know what? what are you going to showcase? Like honestly.
For a contract. I mean, no, for a contract next year.
I don't know. Okay. Well,
not for a trade. Some people think for a trade of the trade deadline. I mean, let's face it. I
don't want a contract for next year for which particular team? I mean, the guy's played like over 1,200 games in the National Hockey League.
Do you think he wants to retire?
And you know what? If he does want to play, and you're saying, okay, what's he going to play? Is he going to be on your bottom? He's going to be your bottom six. Can he play a third line role? And if, in fact, he does want to play, you're talking about minimum dollars. Okay, so fine. Maybe there's a team that's going to take a chance on Olli Jokinen that there's something left in the tank. But by the way, you're signing for about $550,000, $600,000. So it's a haircut big time.
Yeah, well, right now he's making $2.5 million. Who knows? I don't know. But it just about that, I'm sure it will be a one-year thing and at the lower end, as you mentioned. But also it gives him a chance with 20 games left. More of a chance than he would have got in Nashville. He might have won a Stanley Cup in Nashville. He certainly would have got some playoff action.
But to prolong
his career.
But are your eyebrows raised a little bit because he's come in here and actually has been brutally honest with, you know what, there's a losing attitude going on around here. And, yeah, that was easy to sense and easy to feel for a guy that's been around the game for so long. So you credit him for saying what he did. And, again, I like the fact that Peter Horacek at least gave him more of an opportunity tonight. If you look at his ice time, I mean, up to 16 minutes. So the first night, just over 10 minutes. I don't remember how much he played last night, but the fact remains that in overtime, at least Peter Horacek started playing guys a little bit more.
I like it as well. And to go back about his attitude, because he's not a ball buster that way, Olli Jokinen in general, but he, you know, like you said, culture of a first place team. And he was all set and to get some playoff action. We'll come back. We're going to talk more about the Toronto Maple Leaf team. 2-1. They lost last night. 4-3 winners tonight in overtime against the Winnipeg Jets. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and insight that you can't get anywhere else. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here's a shot by scores! Leo Komarov down the left wing, blasts it home! Seventh shorthanded goal of the season for the Maple Leafs, and Leo Komarov has opened the scoring for Toronto with his sixth of the year.
Well, nice to see for the Maple Leafs getting that first goal. Also, Leo Komarov wiring a pretty nice shot, a shorthanded one, as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, a 4-3 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Winnipeg Jets. Ozzy watching the game. That was a nice, I mean, Leo Komarov, really any kind of scoring, he gets kind of a bonus. He wired that shot.
Well, it certainly is, Gord, and you kind of looked at me when I gave you this stat, but the Leafs are 8-0-1 when he scores a goal. So they've never lost when he scores a goal, and you're going, how can that be? Well, this is how it can be. He's only got 5 goals this year. And he had
6
four
now.
He had 4 before that.
Right.
Okay. So do the math. 8-0-1 when he scores. So that means if he scored tonight, which he did, and they didn't lose, that's 9.
Okay. I didn't know you were adding that later on.
So not many NHL goals.
Come prepared and up to date. Okay. You just added the game later on. Chris Johnson always does that. Of course, Chris with Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And, you know, Chris, when we're not at the building, always want to get an indicator what the environment was down like there because it seemed like a pretty entertaining game.
Well, yeah, it was. And, you know, I think usually we see this when you get a Canadian team in here because, you know, there was plenty of Winnipeg fans. And I think that kind of lends itself to the atmosphere where sometimes the guys sort of compete with one another, the fans, that is, to be heard. And, you know, certainly especially in the third period and into the overtime when it was 3-3, you know, a really good buzz and kind of a nice break from some of the negativity that's hung over proceedings lately.
Well, Chris, I want to remind Gord of what some of my keys to victory were going to be tonight. And number one, and how ironic, and I guess I'll give myself a pat on the back once again. But I was talking about pushback and playing with some form of passion and physicality against a Western Conference team in Winnipeg. As we know, the last time the Maple Leafs played them in Winnipeg, 5-1, and you saw what Byfuglien was able to do. So it was nice to see, and the Leafs finally showed some emotion and determination for 60 minutes.
They did, and, you know, coming off of, you know, back-to-back, and obviously the way things have been for a couple months around here, you know, that's saying something, that they could summon that emotion. And I think, you know, on a night like this, in a lot of ways, they were probably helped by the fact they're playing a bigger team and a team that really likes to play physical, like the Jets do, because I think, you know, it helped, you know, kind of raise the emotional level. And when you see your teammates out there getting hit, but then coming back and throwing hits and sticking up for themselves, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the guys afterwards kind of pointed to that as you know, something that really rallied them together. And I thought it helped tonight because, let's face it, when you're this far out of the playoffs and you've lost as many games as the Leafs are, I think it is difficult at times to kind of fake it. It's hard to convince yourself it matters. And you know, with a lot of the Leafs losses, quite frankly, I mean, there's so many one-goal losses in there. Nine of the last 11 games that they've lost are one-goal losses. You know, they've just been missing that little extra in a lot of those games. And, you know, I thought they had it here tonight in large part due to that emotional and physical play.
Wondering, in overtime, it was Olli Jokinen on with JVR for 4-on-4. And, you know, with the indifferent play by Tyler Bozak, by and large, this certainly gives you another option.
It does, you know. And I think Nazem Kadri had a very strong game, too, if you're talking about the centerman. And, you know, that's kind of a trend, I think. That's you know, maybe being painted over a little bit because there is so many bad things. But you're right, Olli Jokinen, for the time being, I mean, he's one of these guys. I mean, the clock's ticking. There's three games left now before the deadline. And, you know, Dave Notis made a vow to Olli the day last Sunday when he acquired him from Nashville that he'll work hard to move him to a playoff team, a contender here before March 2nd. And so he's a temporary option, I would think. He's certainly not part of the Leafs' long-term plans.
Now, what do you think he's going to be on the... Do you think there's a market for Olli Jokinen, seriously?
I think that they'll get just basically, I don't want to say nothing, but, you know, sixth or seventh round pick or something. But, you know, I could see it. You know, he's an experienced player, and I just think everyone is looking for depth, particularly at center. And I think he can, again, I don't think the Leafs are really asking much. He was only included in that trade basically to help the Nashville with the salary concerns, you know, with the contracts going back and forth. And, you know, the Leafs didn't acquire him with an eye on keeping him or anything like that. So to me, as long as they're willing to get nothing or next to nothing, that'll be no problem to move him before March 2nd.
Chris, another strong performance by Daniel Winnick, a goal and an assist. Is it just simply going to happen before March the 2nd that Daniel Winnick is on his way out the door with the Leafs? And again, I keep on hearing maybe as high as a second-round pick you can get back for a guy like Daniel Winnick.
I honestly believe that they can, and maybe more than that. Maybe a prospect thrown in, too. You know, I think that there's a lot of teams watching this guy, and he's played very well. He's been a reliable two-way player for the Leafs all season long. We've seen him have a lot of chemistry, I think, when he's formed two-thirds of a line with Nazem Kadri. They've had, you know, various wingers at times. But, you know, I thought that he's been very good, especially on the type of contract he is. And, you know, now he's even contributing some offense. It's 4 goals in 9 games. And while any team acquiring him won't be looking for that, I think that they'll be quite pleased with the sort of 200-foot game that he plays. And you know, they're going to have no issue at all moving Daniel Winnick. I think it's more, in his case, of an auction. And that's why I would expect it to go right down to the deadline where Dave Notis is hoping the price goes up and hoping the teams are bidding against each other. Because if you're a contender, he's exactly the kind of guy you want to add.
Now, Chris, you never, you know, injuries are, I don't like being used as an excuse for everybody. I'm not using them as an excuse for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but you do see, you know, Joffrey Lupo got hurt that New Year's Eve game in Boston, and that's when the slide really has been at its worst. And that was positive seeing him back on the ice. And this morning seeing Dion Phaneuf, and I don't know what he can or can't do, but he does, I know, a guy take it seriously about being the captain and leader. And this would be a great opportunity if he gets more involved in that dressing room to try to help rather than being perceived maybe as being part of the problem. But leadership-wise, you know, righting the ship a little bit, bringing something back that's missing and lacking.
Yeah, and I think we'll see Dion. I mean, they're off now till Thursday, are the Leafs, and I think we'll see him in that game against Philadelphia, you know, unless he has some other kind of setback. And, you know, everyone's got to, let's face it, there's still, more than 20 games left here. I mean, in some ways, it's felt like the team is playing at the stretch just with how kind of miserable it's been and how prolonged the losing has been. But everyone's got to find something to play for right now. And if you're Joffrey Leupold, you know, he even said himself this morning, I had a chat with him, and he said he doesn't know if he's part of the plan here. So he feels as though he's got something to prove in case there's a team looking at him and in case the Leafs are looking to move him to show that he can still be valuable and useful. And you're right, for a guy who'd been out for a little while, I thought he had a strong game here tonight, made a difference, didn't get any points, but was a positive contributor in a lot of other aspects. And, you know, everyone does have to find something within them, whether it's a contract year or if they feel they might be moved, you know, to show up, because it's a long go still, and they're professionals. And, you know, I think a lot of guys have been looking for that.
Chris, the Jets have been here a couple of days, and I think Paul Maurice has had an opportunity to address the media, you know, comment about being a coach here in this particular market and what that is like. With seeing the Leafs and their recent struggles, do you think the Jets perhaps maybe laid an egg, or, you know, was it just one of those ones where maybe they got a little too far ahead of themselves? Because while we give the Leafs a lot of credit, I'm not sure the Jets really played at least the kind of Jets hockey that we've seen them play, or admirably so, for the better part of this season.
Well, you know, they've been scuffling a little bit. I mean, they were beat handily in Washington the other night prior to coming here, and there might have been a little bit of element of that. I mean, I thought it was a pretty even game for the most part tonight. The Jets weren't dominant, though, you're right. And they're in playoff position in a much tougher conference than the Leafs are in, and the Leafs are down near the bottom of the league. So, you know, they expected more, I'm sure, out of this game. But, you know, I didn't think that they certainly weren't, you know, they went into the third period of the lead. I'm sure, if anything, you know, they're going to be lamenting the fact they couldn't close this game a little bit stronger than they did, because, you know, that they had a very good opportunity to leave here with 2 points. But, you know, if they're looking for a silver lining, I think getting one is at least, you know, a positive they can take forward. And, you know, they're going to have to be better if they're going to hang in where they are right now in the left.
Well, nice to be talking to you after a win. We'll talk to you soon, Chris. Thanks as always.
It's been a long time,
Jim. I know.
Can say that. So you're right. It's positive.
Have a cold one.
All right. See you guys.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us. Yeah, I mean, we're going to hear from Peter Horachuk in about a minute, but boy, he must be relieved too. He was on verge to be the first coach to start his NHL career with as few as 2 wins in his first 20 games. Dave Allison did it with the Ottawa Senators when he took over. Mm-hmm. And anyway, another of these dubious records that have been coming up the last little while. So he's got to be thrilled with a good effort and the win.
No, he certainly does. And then you got to think of, say, Jonathan Bernier, who I think the last time the Leafs scored at least 3 goals for Jonathan in the pipes was January the 9th. So again, when you talk about production and a goaltender, when you need, you know, you need some goals, at least your goaltender is going to play from strength when the team ahead of you is scoring. But when they have been so woeful in putting the puck in the back of the net, it makes it even more and more difficult for a guy like Jonathan Bernier. But again, for the most part, you know, Bernier made some good saves tonight, although I don't think there was a lot of quality chances or quality saves that he had to make. A bit of a break there in the third period on Mark Stewart when ended up hitting the goalpost, and a lot of guys coming back to the front of the net. Nonetheless, I'm sure Jonathan Bernier was extremely pleased that he saw 4 pucks go in the opposing netminder.
Well, let's hear from the Maple Leaf head coach, Peter Horachuk, finally after a victory.
Are you really happy if your opponents come out physical the rest of the time? It seemed to bring some emotion to that game.
I think that it was good to see a good positive response that way. We were the ones that played back-to-back and came in, you know, a little late last night. So I think our guys responded the way we wanted to. We, knowing that they're a physical team and they play hard and they play tough, and you know, we had to be ready to play, and so I think it was a really good response.
The overall compete level, just the energy, the physicality.
I think that was necessary for us to be in that game, because if we didn't come out with a little energy, a little edge, we knew that they were an edgy team. They were going to play physical, and so we had to be ready to play and be ready to come out. Now, we made some mistakes, and you know, maybe that was fatigue or whatever on their goals, but you know, our response was positive. We responded, tied the game up. They came back. you know, we didn't fold the tents. We stayed mentally strong and continued to push and continued to come back. And when we made mistakes, we corrected it very quickly.
A lot of one-goal losses before tonight. You talked about coming back. So what does that do psychologically for this team to be able to pull one of these out?
I think that's a really important point. You know, this was our sixth one-goal game coming in a row. And, you know, when you get into those situations and you're down by a goal in a third, you want to see a response where you get back into the game. You want to see your team kind of respond, and that kind of kickstarts you. And we haven't got that for a while. So I think it was really positive that we stayed stuck to it and got the win.
Is there any reason that you think Kadri and Winnick could have kind of worked as two-thirds of a line pretty consistently this year when they've been together?
You know, it's hard to find what the chemistry is between players. I think we had a conversation a long time ago, maybe I'm not sure if it was December where it was, but when you find a line, sometimes you look at it and you say that won't work or that should work and it doesn't. You just don't know. I mean, Danny does certain things. He's a smart player defensively. He can make a play you know, they just have a chemistry. And on the other side of that line, I thought Loops coming up, being off for a while, played pretty well, coming back in for the first time in 10 days.
Daniel's versatility kind of offer you?
I think it's extremely valuable to me. You know, just for the sake that he's one of our best, or he is our best penalty killer, and, you know, he's been able to play on a third line, or he can play on a first line, he can move back down, he can play left wing, right wing, you know, whenever the things need to be changed around, whatever position you want him to do, he'll take face-offs. I mean, he is very versatile. He's a smart guy tonight. You know, he got into a little tussle, and, you know, I think that's necessary, too, for guys to step up in important times.
Seems when one or all three of your top guys get a chance to score even strength, you've got a pretty good chance to win a hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to see everybody contribute, and your top lines have got to be leading the charge in that way, too. But there's important goals that happened. It was Leo getting that shorthanded goal was an important goal. That tip in front of the net, that's the kind of goal we were talking about getting. We were talking about getting traffic, and there were layers of traffic. There was one on the blue, one on top, and both guys were there, and tipping and the goalie had no real chance on that. So we were talking about that's the type of goals we needed to score. Some ugly goals, some goals that are scored in April and May and June rather than the type of goals that you usually see in October and November.
I'm sure you feel like exploding when you see some of the giveaways you guys have made over the past few games. But when it's a young defenseman come up with a couple of them, you have to have a degree of patience.
Yeah, it's a learning lesson. I mean, I think the same thing happened on their third goal. I mean, it just kind of like it was the same thing, you know, and then maybe it's fatigue, but, you know, the lessons that we have to learn and we have to continue to grow with is we've got to eliminate those big ones that turn into goals against. I think we can correct that, and we are learning how to correct that, but you have to respond that it's a 60-minute game, and so you can't let that affect your next two shifts or next three shifts or the rest of that period. You have to can respond and get back on it.
Still have to chip away at the power play, I guess, zone entry and things like that?
Well, you know, I mean, it would have been nice to be able to get that 4-on-3 in overtime. I think that was a great opportunity, you know, again, I continually just say, listen, we have to be better in that area, but you can't let that affect you negative. And I continue to say that because I think that's a lesson for our team, the consistency of continuing pushing and doing the things that are successful for us are important, that you don't let up and you don't let ups. When you make a mistake, we've got to be able to correct it. It was good to have some veteran guys on the bench, Ole and Loops on the bench, that were speaking and talking and saying, listen, guys, let's go. And you need that from your leadership.
How important was it tonight for Bernier to, you know, fought the puck a little bit tonight, I thought, but yet the team comes about and bounces back and scores enough goals for him to get back on track?
Yeah, I think it's really big. I mean, he's gone through the same tough stretch that we have, you know, like he's now won a game. This is like 11 games, and, you know, he's been in some one-goal games and some very close games, and if you remember that game where they scored from center ice, and, you know, like he's had to battle through that. That's a mentally tough for a goalie. I mean, you want your goalie to win you one of those games, and, you know, it's been tough for him. And he's a battle, and he's a warrior, and it was really good to see him push through here. And as Bob was saying, that they're, You know, like he's at times it looked like the pucks were bobbling a little bit, and you know, you have to fight through it, and that's what he did, and it helps our team.
Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horacek, and I think we expected more of these kinds of post games breaking down, you know, analysis of wins, losses, draws, whatever, a little bit more variety. That hasn't been the case.
But you know what? What did it all come down to, Gord? You know, simply put, I think the Leafs were going to be challenged physically by the Winnipeg Jets. And in some ways, I'm surprised that they actually had it in them to push back, to fight back. You know, Winnick has a fight. I mean, it's some of the guys maybe that you didn't expect that would perhaps show some of that jam. I mean, one of the things about Daniel Winnick is that we have appreciated his level of consistency, his work ethic, and all those types of things. Joffrey Lupul being inserted back in the lineup had some jam in his game. Nazem Kadri had some jam. So there were some, those are the type of emotional things I think that the Leafs really were lacking for quite some time, and it all seemed to come together at the right time tonight.
Take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, Ozzie. You start.
Well, you know what? Let's. The only game that is underway right now is the game in Santa Clara, where it's the outdoor game in Levi's Stadium, where the 49ers do play after one period of play. Matter of fact, the second period is just underway, about 17 minutes left in the second period. 1-1 between the Kings and San Jose. Clifford opened the scoring for L.A., his third of the season. Brent Burns has the goal for San Jose, goal number 16.
Take a look at some action this afternoon. It was the Washington Capitals 3-2 winners over the New York Islanders in a shootout. For the Caps, Matt Niskanen in his third and Eric Fair his 17th. For the Islanders, Travis Hamonic his fourth and Ryan Strom his 13th. So a three-point game. Washington wins 2-1, 3-2 in a shootout.
Yeah, Kuznetsov had the shootout winner, in case you wanted to know that.
Evgeny Kuznetsov had the shootout winner.
Yeah. And, you know, there was another shootout. It was in Philadelphia, and the Flyers come away on top against the Nashville Predators. 3-2 scores for Nashville. Colin Wilson, goal number 19th. Craig Smith has 18. Wayne Simmons for the Flyers, number 23. Ryan White had his second of the season. And Voracek and Simmons were the guys who scored in the shootout for Philadelphia. So a big win for the Flyers to keep their playoff push and hopes alive.
Montreal Canadiens 3-1 winners over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Two goals by Max Pacioretty. He has 29 for the season. Shorthanded goal by Thomas Plekanec, his 18th. The lone Columbus goal was Nick Foligno, his 23rd.
Well, you know what? I don't know what you expected for Florida if they were going to sweep here in Canada. They won in Toronto, won in Montreal, but tonight they laid a bit of an egg in Ottawa, losing 4-1. Lone goal scorer for the Panthers, Barkov with his 9th, and then for Ottawa, Turris is 14th, Bobby Ryan his 15th, Eric Karlsson has goal number 14, and Curtis Lazar with his 3rd, and Hammond, another win in the pipes for the Ottawa Senators.
Well, Carolina Hurricanes announcer Tripp Tracy, we were chatting with him last night about the 2-1 Carolina win over Toronto. He was on his way to their charter plane to catch a trip to New Jersey. Did not bear any fruit as far as points went. The Devils 3-1 winners. Devils scored 3 goals in a 9-minute span in the first period. Tuomo Ruutu is 7th. Adam Henrique is 12th. Andy Green is 1st. And a third-period goal by Jeff Skinner is 14th was the only Carolina goal. New Jersey 3, Carolina 1.
But you know what? Carolina playing on the back-to-back of nights outshoot New Jersey 32-19. And yet come away losers in that particular game. Ryan Getzlaff, another big goal. This one happens to be the game winner in Edmonton in the third period, his 19th of the season. Francois Beauchemin, the other goal on the power play, his 6th of the season for Anaheim. Teddy Purcell, the lone scorer for the Oilers, 2-1. The Ducks beat the Oilers.
What about the Pittsburgh Penguins after that very physical game against the Columbus Blue Jackets? Sidney Crosby in a fight in that game, and they bounce back. 4-2 win in St. Louis over the St. Louis Blues. Blake Como's 13th. Patrick Hornquist is 16th. Como, again, is second of the game, 14th of the season. Brandon Sutter, his 12th. That gave them a 4-0 lead, and St. Louis responded with 2 late goals. Dmitry Yaskin, his 9th, and Ian Cole, his 4th.
Well, you know what, Gord? The St. Louis Blues, Sidney Crosby has only or not scored against two teams in the National Hockey League, St. Louis being one of them. I don't know who the other one is, but anyways, didn't score again. He's 0 for against St. Louis. But what about this score? I almost couldn't believe it when I scrolled down. And I go, you're kidding me. I thought Dallas was up late in the third period at home against the Red Wings. But
yeah,
13 goals were scored, and the Red Wings win 7-6 in overtime. So buckle your seatbelts. Here are the goal scorers for the Dallas Stars. Jamie Benn gets goal number 23. Trevor Daley, 16. What a year he's having from the back end. He's got 16 goals. Cody Eakin has 12. Eric Cole, goal number 17. Horkoff, goal number 18. Goal number 8. And here are the Red Wing scores. Gustav Nyquist, goal number 21. Datsyuk had a pair in the game, goals 18 and 19. Jakob Kindle had a pair, goals 3 and 4. Matter of fact, those two were in the third period. Justin Ablocator, goal number 13. And did I mention Datsyuk? He ended up tying the game late in the third period with just over a minute to play. And then Nicholas Granwall got the game winner 36 seconds into overtime. So what a barn burner there in Dallas. 7-6 Detroit wins.
And some controversy on Datsyuk's game-tying goal with a minute 37.
What was the controversy?
Justin Ablocator about goaltender interference. That's what Dallas was complaining long and hard about, got them no good. And meanwhile, you take a look at Tampa Bay, 4-2 winners over the Arizona Coyotes. For Tampa Bay, Andre Palat is 13th. Ryan Callahan is 18th. Palat again is second of the game, 14th. Steven Stamkos is 32nd. For Arizona, Michael Stone is third, and Mark Arcabello is 11th.
For some reason, I thought there was a new player on Tampa Bay, Palat. I thought he was going to be a new guy that they just got.
It's like Tony Dorsett, right? When he went from Dorsett to Dorsett. Apparently the PR guys are trying to get him to spread
it. Guys are always
bit.
Changing their names, aren't they?
Always.
Or some of us are mispronouncing them. We're not sure.
We're going to pronounce names correctly. We will continue to do that when we come back. We'll check in on the Winnipeg side. We also have Nazem Kadri, Joffre Lupo, Daniel Winnick, and Jonathan Bernier we can listen to as well. Whole lot coming up, a half hour left of Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Once the skates come off, it's game on for us. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stelic and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back to the blue line. It comes to Riley. Riley moving in. Doesn't shoot it. Kadri trying to go around, wrapping around. They score!
Nazem Kadri, how about that? The game tying goal. Let's see how much time. Oh, it was early in the third period of play. Leafs came back with a tie and ultimately a overtime victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs, 4-3 over the Winnipeg Jets, as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And let's hear from the one and only Nazem Kadri after tonight's victory.
Fun game when it's as physical and sort of nasty as it was out there tonight?
We played with a lot of emotion, a lot of passion today. And, I mean, most nights we're doing the same thing, just not getting the fortuitous bounces. So it was nice to kind of get into the game early and come out with 2 points.
What kind of positives with the physical play that they were bringing to maybe get you guys into the game?
I don't know. I mean, I think it seemed like that was their game plan, just coming right off the bat, try to kind of mix things up and try and get the upper hand as far as physicality goes. But our guys did a great job, you know, sticking up for each other and just getting in those scrums when needed, and we didn't back down.
Naz, when you see you guys play as well as you did tonight against a pretty good hockey team, do you wonder to yourself, how did we get into this mess?
I do, because, I mean, I still think we got a pretty good roster. We got good players. We got lots of talent. And, you know, when we work hard, which I think we've been doing the last, you know, week and a half, but it seems like, you know, we work hard for 55 minutes and a couple plays here and there ends up in the back of our net and we end up chasing from behind. So, I mean, that's really been the story. We're working hard. We're in games. They've all been one-goal games, but we just kind of shoot ourselves in the foot with penalties or a Cassie turnover or something like that.
What's been Daniel kind of easy to play with?
He's simple. You can make plays. I mean, I know I can read off him pretty well. I know what his tendencies are and where he's going to be and the type of plays he likes to make. So I think that's what happens when you start to play with a guy and you can string a few games together. You start to understand the way you guys play.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, that's priceless. That's good to see. And he's a guy that's definitely deserving of it.
What were you thinking when you got hit by Wheeler there?
I just get him back. I really wasn't paying attention to the puck at all. I saw the puck in the air for a little bit, but saw him kind of lunging for it. And I didn't like the hit. He kind of threw on me beforehand, so that kind of wound me up a little bit. And like we said, that's just how the game was. We're not going to let anybody push us around.
Is there any pass with you two, or is it just a tonight type of thing?
It seemed like it was just right off the puck drop. I mean, we had something going. We were a lot of words were being said out there, and that's the emotion of hockey. That's what you're going to get, and those are the type of games that I really enjoy playing in.
You know what, Gordon? It's always great to hear Nazem Kadri because he's usually a pretty good soundbite. I certainly did appreciate and kudos to him for playing with some jam and some emotion. But again, here's where I think that he's misguided, and the fact is his comment was, we usually do play with emotion. Really? This is the first emotional game I've seen in quite some time, so I don't know where he's been for the last little while. I'm saying his play, and I think Peter Horchek has rewarded him over the course of his tenure behind the bench. I mean, Naz has been one of the more consistent Maple Leafs, but at the same time, I'm just at times I get just mystified as to the way that they actually perceive themselves or think about themselves and the way that they approach things in general.
Well, it was, you wonder if it's just a soundbite and they just forget, just back off a little bit of those kind of comments.
But think about Naz's comments for a number of years. I mean, and I remember you doing this show last year and, towards the end when they collapsed. I mean, the thing that jumps out for me with Nazem Kadri is, some of us had good years.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Like, and that to me has been part of the problem or part of the issue that speaks to you're playing for the front of the jersey. You're playing for the pride of wearing the blue and white. I don't care if you get 20 goals and you pat your stats. This is all about the team and competing and finding ways to win. And nonetheless, I don't want to rant because it was a great effort by the Maple Leafs for and they were rewarded as a result.
Well, to see if we connect with Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press or not. Otherwise, listen to a couple more of the Leaf players. Did want to mention, tomorrow's the 35th anniversary of Miracle on Ice. Do you remember where you were when Team USA won over the Soviet Union, Miracle on Ice?
Yeah, I was playing junior hockey, Gord. I was getting ready to get drafted into the National Hockey League 1980. I was drafted in June.
Well, do you remember the date?
I remember Al Michaels.
Yeah. But you know the part of it. Here's the three things.
I know you were in on school break or something.
In Fort Lauderdale. We're going out to the playpen that night, have a little fun.
Oh, you remember where you were?
I do remember it. And
I was a little bit younger than you.
I understand that. But
focusing on my game.
Maybe I was young and I just accelerated a number of years. So, first of all, it's considered the worst tactical move by Viktor Tikhonov when he replaced Tretiak for some reason with Mishkin, the backup goaltender. And the other part is, it was not the gold medal game. They had to beat Finland on the Sunday to get the gold medal, so they still had one more game to go. And you mentioned Al Michaels. So, do you believe in miracles, the call? It was on tape delay. The game was on tape delay, but they missed the news hour from 6 to 7, so the final score didn't get on the evening news because there wasn't the 24/7 media. Yeah. So, everyone watched it Friday evening. The result had happened 4 hours earlier.
Well, I've heard you talk about that before. So okay, sorry. Are you kind of upset? Are you upset by that?
Didn't mean to bore you. I just want to thought some listeners
like I'm trying to understand your point.
There's no point. We're waiting for Tim Campbell trying to kill time. Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press will add some information and levity and insight to our show. How you doing, Tim?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're good. You know, I mean, we don't see haven't seen a lot of great hockey or compelling hockey in Toronto for a number of weeks. And you go back to that game in Winnipeg, which was Randy Carlyle's last, that included as one of them. Thought it was a good game, a little bit of jam and intensity from a Leaf point of view. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought the Leafs deserved some pretty high marks tonight. I mean, they were the team tonight that had, the excuse, if you're going to talk about that. I mean, they had to play in Carolina last night and, zoom home here and land in a bit of a snowstorm and all the rest of that hassle. But, it looked to me like the Leafs had, decent jump tonight. you know, I know they had some flaws in their game, and they really did help the Jets score a couple or maybe all three of their goals with some mistakes, but they didn't, you know, give up. They kept at it, and then, you know, who was the better team in the third period tonight? I think the answer to that's pretty obvious.
To me, you know, Michael Hutchison, who's been a real good story for Paul Maurice and the Winnipeg Jets, in fact, has had a very, very good year. And of course, a local Ontario kid comes to the Air Canada Centre, and yet I felt his game was he did not look as sharp as perhaps we've been used to seeing, at least for the Winnipeg Jets.
You know, I think you're right, and I think there's, you know, maybe been three or four starts here now where he hasn't been quite as on it as, you know, he's been in the past. Now, masking a bit of that is, you know, his previous two starts, he won them both by shootouts. But in those each of those games, I think he gave up three goals and four goals in each game. You know, he didn't look all that great, I saw Monday at home against Edmonton, but he was absolutely great in the shootout, and he's been great in shootouts all season. So, you know, tonight, it's kind of average, and me, you know, if I'm grading him, I really didn't like, you know, his action on the Kadri goal in the third period there. I guess, you know, things are going to happen and bounces don't go your way sometimes, but, you know, I think as a goalie, you've got to be able to shut that off. Your teammates have to be able to trust that you're going to shut that off, and they'll take care of the rest of the stuff. And that one, you know, slipped through there, and that hurt them. That goal for sure really hurt them tonight.
Winnipeg Jets, a sloppy game against the Washington Capitals a couple of days ago. And, you know, realistically, it's a nice story and about making the playoffs. What are going to be the keys for the Jets along the way if they do or they don't?
Yeah, they've been off here a bit in the last bunch of weeks. I mean, they came out of the All-Star game very flat. They seem to regain their balance and play three or four pretty good games, and now the last five here, they look a little off again to me. I mean, they really struggled against Edmonton on Monday and Thursday in Washington. It was maybe one of their worst three or four games of the year. And they weren't awful here in Toronto tonight, but they weren't themselves. Paul Maurice said after the game, you know, he thought their skating has diminished a little bit. They're not really on their toes and really aggressive like they've been. So he's hoping maybe a couple days rest here. The schedule actually for them does get a little friendlier, so they might be able to take advantage of some of these 2 and 3 day breaks between games that they're going to get now in the coming weeks to, you know, get some energy back. And he thought they needed to skate better, and they weren't quite good in that area tonight. So I think that's a pretty big hint that, you know, that aggressive play is going to be the key to what they might achieve, you know, get into the playoffs. You know, the penalty issue has been a big one in my view for a long time. I mean, it's come to a head here only recently because of all the power play goals they've given up, but they continue to be, you know, the team that's shorthanded the most in the NHL. And when you're riding that, you know, edge of the razor and your penalty killing isn't very good, I don't see a lot of good things happening unless there's some corrections there.
Timmy, you're talking about the Jets maybe not being as sharp these last 4 or 5 or so games. I mean, is it with direct correlation to, you know, the trade? I mean, because it's been 5 games since Tyler Myers, has been a Winnipeg Jet. And maybe the way that I look at this or sometimes I perceive teams is that, you know, things change, things happen that you would appear for the common good. But then there's that period of time where then guys kind of relax a little bit for some reason or think that things are actually going to get better. And in fact, that's not usually the case, and some of the work ethic and some of the little things that you were doing before does not happen for a short term.
Yeah, I think you're on to something there. You know, that there was, I think there was generally enthusiasm for the trade, both with the fans and the team. I mean, you know, it was a move that helped them with some depth, especially on defense. It was a move, you know, let's face it, that, you know, there was a kind of an ongoing distraction in their room with the Evander Kane situation, and they resolved that fairly quickly. And I think everyone on the team, you know, for better or for worse, was just happy to be done with it. And, you know, they played a couple of good games right after the trade. They had a, you know, quite a competitive effort with Detroit, you know, last week on Hockey Night in Canada, where they were down 2 goals in that game and came back and won it in a shootout. And they had played Nashville pretty tough, you know, the game before that. So, you know, they had some momentum and adrenaline going, but you know, I think one thing now here this week is really, it's going to turn out to be more significant than I think some people think, and that's the injury to Matthew Perreault in Monday's game, early in Monday's game at home against Edmonton. So he was missing for the first time for a full game Thursday in Washington. He's missing here in Toronto tonight. He's been really productive for them lately. Really good fit with Mark Scheifele, even though you know Matthew's a natural center. He's been playing the wing, and he and Scheifele have been very good together here for going on 2 months, 2.5 months. So just to withdraw him from the lineup, it hurts their power play. It hurts their balance. And you saw there tonight, guys, that it forced Paul Maurice, who was unhappy with the game in Washington, then it forced him to take his best defenseman and make him a forward tonight. And that's not going to help the Jets in the long run if Dustin Byfuglien has to continue to be a forward. I think that's, you know, that's the ripple effect of this Perreault injury, and I think it is going to turn out to be a significant thing.
Well, Matthew Perreault, almost some lucky viewer, almost won $1 million. He had four
that's
goals,
right.
And you get the fifth, he would have won $1 million on a Jets broadcast. But it was a woman, I think, whose name was out there. Couldn't quite put the fifth in.
From Brandon, yeah.
Boy, and I thought Paul Maurice could have used him more at the end than at that game. But anyway, that's the way it goes. You could just use him, period, right now. Hey, always appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, guys, I always enjoy it. Thanks.
Tim Campbell joining us from the Winnipeg Free Press, a guy you knew from your time in Winnipeg, correct, Oz?
Absolutely. I remember Tim, and, you know, those were kind of fond memories. I'm not sure they were enjoyable memories, but, you know, I think about Timmy Short. I think about, obviously, Randy Carlisle, Craig Heisinger, who is our trainer, I mean, equipment guy, and now he's assistant GM, so he's come full circle, and he does a real good job at evaluating talent for the Winnipeg Jets, Zinger. He watches a lot of hockey.
Okay, well, keys to the game. Let's evaluate Mark Osborne's keys to victory and how they played out in the Maple Leafs 4-3 overtime win tonight.
Well, thank goodness I was able to find the piece of paper amidst
my plethora of information. You're looking smug.
Well, anyways, here's what I suggested going into the game tonight, and I don't know why I just kind of almost rolled the dice and chose one of these things, but I thought point number one was pushback with some form of physicality. And I was like, I was almost like shocked that was the kind of game that it turned out
to be.
They
must have been listening. Yeah.
And yeah, they must have been listening because it was one of the most spirited games that the Maple Leafs, you know, showed that they were involved. They were engaged. There was a lot of pushing and shoving, and it actually worked to the Leafs' advantage because it forced them to engage, I think, emotionally in the game, which was a very, very positive. I thought point number two, the Leafs' power play because of the inept Jets' penalty kill would be a factor. But at the end of the day, the Leafs' power play was not good again. I know they've kind of scored without Dion in the lineup, no Cody France, and now they had a chance to win it 4-3 in overtime, but did not, you know, weren't able to capitalize, and yet Komarov gets you a shorthanded goal to start the game, which was obviously a positive. And then point number three, I just threw this out there. JVR, minus 18, 19 games with the Horchuk behind the bench. Where has he been? He's been the one who's gotten a bit of a free pass, per se. Big guy, 25 years of age, and he's been very, very quiet. And yet, lo and behold, there's the game winner on his stick. Nice pass by Jokinen. JVR comes through. 2 out of 3 Oz gets on the keys to the game and Leafs win.
Well, very nice. Now a 5-day break, what they take on the Flyers on Thursday. So for the Maple Leafs, for people that were talking about Tankit, not a step in that direction tonight, but a very necessary step to have some decent hockey played, especially at Air Canada Center.
Well, you know what? It's certainly going to make the week much more enjoyable.
That's true.
And
yeah.
one of the things, you know, tomorrow's going to be an automatic day off after the back-to-back, and they usually get Sundays off. But the challenge for the Leafs will be 3 practices. Nobody likes 3 practices. But anyways, a well-deserved win, and enjoy the week before a Thursday night's game.
Well, we'll see. Can Peter Horchuk get him back on kind of a 10-1-1 tear like they had before with those 3 practices? We'll be back Thursday to talk about that and much, much more. A 4-3 win tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime against the Winnipeg Jets. As Ozzie said, JVR getting the overtime marker. It's nice to leave everyone on a winning note for a change. Hopefully more to come. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Sportsdelic, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.